The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
All right. So we have been walking through in a lot of different ways in little pieces, kind of big overarching themes concerning the Lord's Prayer. And I don't want to step away from it yet because I would like to get kind of to the second half, in my mind, the second half of the Lord's Prayer. So again, let me just refresh. You know, the Lord's Prayer is just a framework for us as believers in our praying. And so when we pray, you know, when you steal away private time, when you want to get away just to kind of center yourself or align yourself. Now, let me just again say that it's not every time you pray that this is how you pray, because there's sometimes at work or you're at school or you're in a situation somewhere and you just need grace. You're not going to just walk through this. You're going to go like I do, Father, I need grace. Because if I don't have grace, this is not going to be a good situation. So when you are going to steal away, when you're going to align yourself, when you're just going to spend that time to get away with God so that you can talk to Him about Him and about you, about your life, about the people you love, about the things that are important to you, it's this time that I believe Jesus is really focusing in on. When you get there, what you need to keep in front of you, what we need to keep in front of us, is that our life is tied to what God is wanting and what God is doing. So, the first part of the Lord's Prayer is all about God. It's all about His kingdom. It's all about His purposes. It's all about His will here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In my mind, part one. So we need to be reminded that God has all along been moving. This is, you know, I'm humored so often when I hear people that believe they're somebody and know something, and they start talking about what the future is going to look like for whomever. I giggle because I thought, you have no idea. What's coming out of your mouth right now, you have no idea that none of that is true, none of that's going to make sense, and it is not going to be like that. Because God's pretty clear about how this is all going to roll out and what it's going to look like. So, but God has been moving in this single direction with all that He has created and with humanity. And with it, His intended purpose is the redemption of all things. And we're a part of that. Actually, no, we get to be a part of that. So it's not like just we're a part of it, but can you, I don't know, for me, I just go, you know, I get excited and then I have this sense of awe, of responsibility toward that, but we get to be a part of what God is doing. Now, many of you have ever had the opportunity of being a part of someone's life in their coming to this step of realization and this step of faith of understanding who God is and what Jesus has done, and you've watched them move into that new life. Parents, we do that with our kids. We do it with family members, neighbors, co-workers. See, we get to be a part of that because that's what God is up to. God is up to the redemption of humanity. God is up to the redemption of all things, and God is aiming in that direction. And so we, as those that have trusted Christ, we're a part of that. We are part of what God is wanting and what God is doing. And thinking about that, we're doing that, we all need the very same things to do that. So here's where I think, this is me, think through it, process it. So Jesus starts out saying, look, it's all about God, His kingdom, His will here. Now for you, here's what you need to understand about that, and here's what you need to pray for in your life so that you can have these things so that you can do that. And to me, it's just overwhelmingly, yep, that is so true. If we are tied to God, if we are image bearers of God, if we've been brought alongside, we're a part of this kingdom. And what is this kingdom doing? What is the king doing? He's doing this, so we're a part of that. And as we're a part of that, and what he is doing, there are certain things specifically what we need. And for me, it was almost like, so Jesus is telling the disciples, look, when you get this time to steal away, here's what you need to know about that. And here's what you need. Here are the specific things. Now, you know what? I get that some would say, well, you know, I really need da, 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 da. And I'm going, yeah, no, uh-uh. Again, if you know me and you've heard me, I just don't think it's complicated. I think the gospel's simple. I think following is simple. I think understanding is simple. I think we complicate it because we want what we want, which does not marry to what God is wanting. So once we can get ourselves aligned with what God is wanting, once we can understand that there are certain things that we have need of to be able to do what God is wanting, and there's four things. There's provision. There's forgiveness. There's guidance. And there is protection. And this morning I want to talk about this first one, provision. Well, Father, man, my mind is racing. It is like alphabet soup. There are so many things that are just stirring. Here's what I want this morning. Through us as a body of believers, would you bring unity and clarity concerning this morning to us? Would you just set us upright, so to speak? Center us correctly this morning concerning provision. Help us see the way you see. Help us have peace and confidence in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I've got it all on my computer here. I was just going to walk through this, but I think I'm going to do it a little bit differently this morning. I would like for us to look at this first one when I talk about provision. When Jesus says in Matthew 6:11, I think it's 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to pick you out. So be thinking, what when you hear that phrase, give us this day our daily bread, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Two things, sustainer, provider. Everything we have is His, and He provides everything for us.
Okay.
I think of the manna. I think of the provision of God that we need certain things to sustain our body, our health, and that even when there was nothing to sustain them, God provided. He provided the manna. He provided the... Jesus later says, I am the bread of life.
I think, too, that He provides work and jobs for us so that we can, for our needs, which really comes everything from Him.
Tim, did you have something?
I believe just what it says, our daily bread, our daily food. He provides for us. It's something we need every single day, and he provides that.
It's good. So it's not by our own wisdom. It's not how smart we are. It's not by how hardworking we are.
Absolutely. It's not by any of that.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, you had your eyebrows raised when I went by, like, I got something.
I just thought it was an acknowledgement that that's where our daily bread comes from. Even if it's as simple as what we eat, he cares about it, and that's, we're acknowledging that, you know, give us this day our daily bread, is that it's going to come from him. So.
Okay. How about you, Larry?
Well, I was thinking about the same thing that you said over here. I was thinking that daily bread would be our, like, our needs, our physical needs, and other needs that we have as people. That's what initially struck me.
Okay. Right. You can't raise your hand. I'm kidding.
I guess I look at the daily part, and it's, you're not asking, give me today and tomorrow and next year and 10 years down the road, but just today, almost like take up your cross daily. It's for just for today.
What about you, Tom? Tomorrow. You got some?
So a daily bread, I think of a freshly baked loaf of French bread coming out of the oven, smelling it.
With a little jam.
And it's,
you know,
among
he doesn't
the,
say,
it's
give
the
us
finest
a day our daily
of
bread and jam.
It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. But I think it's interesting that it comes immediately after your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have a mandate, and he gives us the provision to carry out. Mm. We need the daily bread to do our part in carrying out his kingdom coming.
That's good. That's a good word.
Yeah. You know, I was sitting there thinking kind of almost to the other side of that. And Jesus, I think, was talking to his disciples, said, look at the birds of the air. They don't reap or sow, but your Heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more does he take care of us? So to me, it's almost like, don't worry about those things. In other words, God knows what we need. I think someone said something like that. And therefore, he furnishes it, and he does it for this day. Because after all, like Jesus says, we have the grace for today, right? We have the bread for today.
Okay. How about this? They got brought up. So the idea of daily bread, what do you think about when you think about when Jesus, Moses is talking to the Father and God is talking that he was going to give manna to his people. He was going to give bread from heaven. So what comes to your mind now when you think about that? Ralph? He's taking notes.
I'm writing down what I'm saying.
I'm right. Isn't your wife's a dictator?
Yeah. Well, the daily bread from heaven, it brings to mind, why do we eat in the first place? We need food. We chew it up. We digest it. All that is to provide energy to our cells, and it permeates our entire body. God gave this to the Jews in the wilderness for that purpose. But there's a deeper meaning, you know, and we can go into the spiritual. We need to eat God's manna every day, the Word of God, and that permeates into our spiritual being, The whole purpose of food is to keep us alive, keep us from dying. And so same way with the spiritual bread. You can die spiritually without consuming it.
Somebody got thoughts about that? Oh, I'll go here and then go down.
So you got to be really grateful for the Gospels, because we see this really practical application lived out with Jesus walking around in him in flesh and bones. And I think of two stories. I think of, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, you got all these people following, earnestly interested in what Jesus is teaching. And it comes time to eat. The disciples start getting like we do when things are worrisome, right? We're going to be short. We got all these people to feed. There's not enough food. We don't know. There's no restaurants nearby. So, you know, Jesus just takes the loaves and the fish. He blesses it. And the comfort in that is he already knew it ahead of time. He cared. And he feeds all of these people miraculously from heaven. But when you talk, I mean, so that's a practical, right? The food and the body, like you're just talking about. But the other, second thing I think of is, You know, at the woman at the well, I think, is Jesus at the well with the lady, and then the guys come, his disciples come up, and it's like, hey, we brought you a burger. We brought you food to eat. And he says, man, I have food that you don't know of. And so what's interesting, that question, this food that we know not of, I think is what you're referring to, this heavenly guidance and to know and to then do what the Father, because it's never by power or might, but it's by my Spirit. So Jesus at the well with the woman, and the Spirit of God is in him and leading him. And I mean, isn't that the bread? Spirit of God in us, leading us, and as we acquiesce, as we sang this morning, take my life, Lord.
Okay. Yossi.
Well, JD stole my reference. It was in John chapter 4. I was going to say the same thing. That's what it reminded me of when, you know, when Jesus does say that, when he says that I have food that you do not know about. So I think when I think of that is I think about those times when we're broken and we feel like there's no way we will ever be put back together or heal or we will overcome, and the Holy Spirit comes and restores us. The Father comes and puts us back together. That's the food from heaven.
Well, you know, I agree with Tim. I think, yeah, it does talk about physical food, but thinking about all the things that Jesus says about who he is. And in John chapter 6, I think it says, I'm the true bread from heaven. And so I wonder, so the disciples catch this, and I don't know what came first, but I don't know if Jesus in John, you know, the timeline, I don't know if he talked about being bread from heaven before this, but I'm wondering, is there more to this that we need to think about as we pray? Is Jesus really just talking just about physical food, or is there more to it? Is there this spiritual sustenance that he's talking about?
It's interesting when you look at the scripture that the first part of the prayer really speaks about heaven, and the first comment about things in the earth is, give us this day our daily bread. And the sense in which God wants to relieve us of the stress of worrying about our daily provision, you know, because the scripture says that, you know, this is what the heathens run about doing every day. They're worried, how will ends meet? How will I provide for my family and so on? And it's at the top of the list in the prayer, you know. Hey, I'm going to provide for you. That, I don't want you to make that your priority. I'm taking on that responsibility for you. I'm taking that burden off of you. You know, the way the scripture says that, take upon me my yoke. Take upon you my yoke. My yoke is light. And the sense in which that, you know, he calls us to trust him. You know, and I think that's one of the things we struggle with most, is being able to trust him for the unseen, for those things we're not really sure about. You know, it's easy to trust for what we can see, but it's so much harder to trust when we don't know where that provision is coming from tomorrow. And he's saying, I have it. I have it under control. Just believe me.
That's good. You know, this is hard for us as Americans to pray for our daily bread, because do you have you get a fridge in your kitchen? Do you have a chest freezer? What's in your chest freezer? She's got two. How many you got? So you got a couple freezers. So let me ask you. So Jeter, do you know what your mom's making for lunch? Is she going to feed you lunch? Maybe. Okay, I need to get a better mom.
You heard what he said.
We may eat out. Oh, we may eat out, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I see. Olive Garden, give us this day. So are you think you're going to have supper then? Yes. Breakfast tomorrow? Yeah. You don't worry about that?
No.
Why not? Because you know she's going to make it. You know that she's going to take care of you. That's, you know, here's the thing about, you know, we miss so often childlike faith. When I was growing up, I never had to worry. I just knew that it was going to be there. And so we grow up now, and we forget that we're children. We forget that God's our Father. We wonder if He's going to provide for us. That's kind of interesting. Who had their hands up? I just going to get there real quick and then jump onto this, rest of this.
You know, I was thinking here in Matthew 4 and 3, when Jesus is in the desert and the devil tests him, he says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Okay, someone else who had their hands up here.
All right, oh. Well, so this is a little long, but I'm just going to read the scripture because it says it better than I ever will. Go back to John 6:32, and I tell you the truth, but it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's the Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, sir, from now on, give us this bread. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Which, of course, goes right back to your will be done. And this is the will of him whom sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up for the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hmm. I mean, the Lord gives us the whole picture of, here's your bread. The picture of manna from heaven is just a picture of me. And here I am, and you'll never go hungry. And it's funny, because we think about this. The bread of life, I think if I just ate a bunch of bread, I'd be really thirsty, right? He says, no, you eat the bread of life, you don't hunger or thirst. Hmm. I mean, it covers everything. So even that good French bread that Tom was talking about.
Give us our daily bread. From the very beginning, he has. If you look at the Garden of Eden, he always has provided for everyone. Now, I agree with the gentleman there. I couldn't see him over here, the brother, when he talks about trust. Because the question is if right now, any of us just had, let's say, $10 left in our pockets, and we had to pay all these bills, and that's all we have. Do you still trust in God that he will provide? So the word trust here is vital. Anyway.
So a few things. It's interesting because I have all these scriptures on my laptop that you guys have brought up, and I thought, well, there's no sense in me just going through it because we all have it, and we sharing this together. This is common knowledge stuff, right? It's the application that's tricky, especially when we think about it. Let's just think about this. I think we need to wander deeper down into Matthew chapter 6, but before I do that, there were a few things that got brought out here. The first one was this daily accounting with God. So give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is interesting because when we get to the next one next week on forgiveness, you need to see that it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And to me, it pulls that into a daily accounting as well. So it's about, God, what I need from you, what you can that what you promised to provide for me, I need today, this day, daily accounting. And just like a little spotlight up there next week, forgiveness is the very same way. It's this daily accounting that we have for God. The second piece about that is that I do understand what Jesus said when he talked about daily bread, but when you wander down further into Matthew chapter 6, we see that it is about natural physical food, but in the context of what Jesus is saying, it's really, when we get to think about it, it's more, because the manna was this miraculous supply of God every single day for 40 years. Now, there's all these big pictures in Scripture. So, you know, you hear a lot about, they say, you know, this, or I have said, you know, Israel's like this big object lesson for us. So God calls Israel. Israel goes through this wilderness experience before they get to a promised land. And God said all along in this wilderness experience, before you get the promised land, if you will simply trust me, I'll provide for you and it'll go good. If you don't, it's going to get tricky. And so as much as he provided every day, well, 6 days a week, but on the sixth day, he provided enough for 2 days because they were supposed to rest on the seventh. So he provided for him every day through this time to give them bread, which would sustain them physically until they could get where God promised them to go. Now, let's put that in. If Jesus is a foreshadowing of manna, he's a type, he's a symbol of that, then the picture should be that God gives us true bread from heaven, which is Jesus, to help us in this time that we are now until we get to where he promised ultimately we would get. And I don't think we should miss that. So the idea of this bread and bread from heaven has this idea of spiritual sustenance. So what we need is we need physical stuff, but when you go back a little bit deeper into chapter 6, Jesus then, it's like he jumps back up here and he goes, now let me say something. So don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Girls, don't worry about what you're going to wear. All of this collective, don't worry about these things. The bottom, I like this because it says, I'm trying to remember the translation. It gets to this verse, I think it's verse 25. The translation says, look, here's the bottom line. And I like that because I think a lot of times if it was in the modern vernacular, I kind of wonder how Jesus would say some of this stuff to us. Look, here's the bottom line. You don't need to worry about your life. Matter of fact, let me just show you that. Does God provide for the birds of the field? Yes. Okay, well, let me ask you another question. Does he clothe the flowers in the field? Yes. Are you more important than the bird and the flower? Yes. Can you change anything about how God's going to provide for your life by worrying? Just so you know, that's a no. That's not a yes. That's a no. You absolutely can't. And the thing about this word worry means the idea behind worry is to be distracted. Don't be distracted by these physical things in life. The pagans, those that don't know me, they just chase after those physical things. But you got brought in here, hey, your life is, it's more than just these things. Your life is so much more than that. So don't become distracted. I love Luke because Luke says it this way. Neither be ye doubtful of mind. I like that because the phrase doubtful of mind means don't be up in the air about this. Look, it's almost like it's not up here. It's not just this thought. what we need to do, just like all areas of our faith, is we need to grab a hold of it and pull it into our life. You know, we've been reading through Isaiah. How many are up on their reading? You don't need to raise your hand, but we're in the book of Isaiah. And, okay, confession. So, I don't know how to say this without getting in trouble from Jesus. But it's almost like, wah, 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 wah. I'm reading it, and it's saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over. So I begin scanning and getting in trouble from Jesus for it. And it's like he goes, are you reading through the scriptures or not? Or are we now scanning through the scriptures? And it's almost like, okay, I've asked them to read. They're scanning too, so what's the big deal? Set an example. And he just began to talk to me. Because the whole of Scripture, what I'm saying this morning, God says over and over and over and over and over and over. Now I got to thinking about that. So, every one of you in your household. So, you've got, how do I want to say this? House rules. Let's use that term. House rules. So, Aiden, if you could say to me, plug your ears, Mom and Dad, what are your big house rules? You know, that living in your household, what's your mom and dad, mom or dad, what are they constantly reminding you of concerning household rules? To do chores. Okay, any mom having tricky do that, just send them to Holly. She'll line them right out. Okay, you got to do your chores. And if you don't do your chores, what? Ooh, trouble, trouble, trouble. You probably don't have any privileges either, right? Yeah, you don't get to play your games, play ball. You got to do all that before you can have fun, right? What about your household? Somebody want to just spout it right out? You have to finish your food? My mama had that rule. That was the stupidest rule. Stupid, stupid, stupid rule. Starving kids in Africa. Kids don't eat peas in Africa. I'm telling that right now. Eat all your food. Somebody else, one of you kids, what's yours? Joelle, what's yours? What's the house rule? The big one. In your house, dad's boss. You got one, Jeter? You have to ask. So, you know, I'm reading through Isaiah, and the Lord just all of a sudden, he just whacks me. He goes, Tracy, here's the deal. Through all your experiences, through all your seasons of life, you just need to know the simple. You just need to trust me. And I'm going, but 66 chapters? And then it was like, no, uh-uh. The whole of it is really just trying to tell us the same thing. So if we're spending any time in it, God is saying the same thing to us, and he's given us opportunities to apply it. Trials. Opportunities to try equal trials. Just so we have clarity about it, right? We get the opportunity to apply it. So he's saying, look, if you worry about those things, you're just going to be distracted by them. Now, I need to let you know, the world around you that doesn't understand who I am or know who I am, They're distracted by that. I don't want you to be distracted by that, but rather what you need to do is you need to pursue me. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what's it say? And then all these things, what was the things he was talking about? Food, drink, girls, clothes. Pursue Jesus and you get a wardrobe. What do you think about that? That's a motivator right there. New shoes. I'm going to spend some time in the Word today. I need new shoes. God said he would provide the simple things. But what it says is there's a preface to it. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, It says all these things will be added unto you. Do you know that word means to provide also, to lay beside, to additionally add? So it's the simple. So if I'm going to spend my life trying to just break through and get this right, get my relationship with Jesus right, pursuing Jesus, then what God will do is I walk, He'll just bring those things that I have need of by my life. And so now, just so you know, there's sometimes I've been walking and I haven't seen beside me what I want, right? But He didn't say that. He said, I will make sure that you have provision in life. Now, let's take that. Now, let's connect the dots between physical and spiritual in your life. See, what we need to do is we need to ask for bread from heaven. We need to ask for Jesus in our life. We need spiritual sustenance in our life. So when we're walking through life, will God provide that? He will provide that. What did Jesus say? Look, I came to give you not just life. I came to give you an abundance. I came to give you life to its fullest measure. Man, I love that. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like there's a full measure there, but let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been pursuing the Lord, and we've all, okay, we have ebbs and flows to this in our life. I have ebbs and flows of this in my life. You know, you have those seasons where, it's working, and I have this desire in me, and the word makes sense, and Jesus seems to be talking very clearly to me, just like He knows. See, look at that amen right there. That child knows. And he's just adding that. When that is happening, I just see life differently. I don't see what I don't have or what I didn't want. I see what I do have and what I need. So when I'm in this place where I'm really seeking the Lord, all those other things, it's just like they fall in line. My perception changes about them. I know that God is there, and I know that God will provide, and I know I don't need to worry about it. Now, let me close with this thought. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." This phrase, cast all your care, is a past participle. Okay, just so you know, I stunk at English, but I was pretty good at Greek. Past participle, there's several things about this. First of all, it's a command. You must do this. You must. It's necessary for you to cast all your care upon Him. Second thing that a past participle is, and it's a once and for all thing that we need to do, not a take back, not give a little. Cast all your care upon Him. Don't take it back when you throw it His way. Don't take it back. If you throw it His way, it's not in your possession anymore. It's in His hands. So it's a once and for all action that we do that we must do. Lastly, a past participle relies on the phrase and gives emphasis to what is ahead of it. So let me just tell you what is ahead of cast all your care upon Him. God gives, He resists the proud, He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up in due time. Now listen. The idea of us coming before God every single day is an act of simple faith, and it surely is an act of humility, because humility is to be bowed low. See, we are here. God is here. I understand that all the sufficiency that I need in my life comes from the Father. I know that I need to have my heart open and my hands out so that God will drop in my hands. That, and in my life, that is humility. See, we need to get here because God, when you're here, when you're asking God, when you're realizing it's from God, when you know that God doesn't miss, when you're here, when you're humbled, He gives grace. And grace is the help of God. So it's the help of God no matter what you face. The natural things you face, the spiritual things you face, the emotional things that you face. You know, thinking about it's the enoughness. It's the enoughness of God. My admonition is to, wherever you are right now, don't miss acknowledging Him. Don't miss the privilege, the opportunity. It was in the 80s. Bob Dole was running for president. I was pastoring a church. It was a big church, seated a bunch of people. His campaign manager called me. Hey, Tracy, Bob Dole's come to town and would like to hold a rally. Want to know if he could use your church. And I went, eh. And she goes, no, really, he wants to meet you and shake your hand. Instantly, I didn't say it to her, but instantly in my mind I went, I wake up every day and I get greeted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The privilege, really, the privilege that we get to come and to lay our life and to be able to look up and to understand that He grabs us face to face, to speak into our life, to be connected to who He is, to be image bearers of that. Life does not get any better than that. Father, you are everything that everyone here has said. Help us not miss that. Help us not miss the opportunity we have to be able to daily acknowledge and daily understand and daily see your hand at work in our life and every area of our life. Father, give us that great grace.